This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski. An over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward Podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hello, everybody. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the show, and on the other line, we got Jim Ozarski. He's in Detroit getting some coffee as the Bucks prepare to play the Detroit Pistons on Monday. So you know, as you're listening to this, understand that the Monday game has not happened yet. In your timeline, it has, and you'll know a little bit more than we do at this point. But Jim, we're going to start with this game because all indications are pointing to Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo finally getting back on the court. And I there's a couple angles to this. There's the fact that they did not play on Saturday in Cleveland, which looked like certainly the point in time when they would be coming back. And then there is the fact that both are listed as probable as we record this for this Detroit game. Obviously, essential that they are coming back. Are there things you're looking for? Are you expecting these guys to be on a minutes restriction? I mean, obviously things sort of, this is sort of a crisis point, I think, for Bucks fans. Like, these guys need to be back and healthy. And if they're not, you know, the longer this goes, the worse off this team is going to be in the long run. So just give me a sense of kind of what you're expecting as the Bucks get prepared to take on the Pistons.
Yeah. Well, let's start with maybe minutes. That's interesting. It would make sense. The fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo has missed five straight games, I believe over 10 days. Now, he has been practicing to whatever degree they do. He has done his warm up. So it's not like he's been totally, you know, just sort of getting back physically. Chris Middleton has missed 18 games. Obviously now going back to December. So that one I could see it, you know, 25, 28-ish minutes. So, like, the Pistons aren't very good either. So, you know, there's also – it's sort of a less of a high-stress debut than that Lakers game on national television back on December 2nd when Chris Middleton looked fantastic. I could see, you know, there being some consideration for – frankly, the lack of work that they've had. In terms of what I'm looking for, Giannis is interesting because usually JR, when he misses this much time, there's an element of rust in his game, ball handling, you know, the shot, etc. Chris, I'm curious. I mean, he's been practicing since January 11th, 10th or 11th in Atlanta. He's had a couple practices with the Bucks. He's had a couple with the Herd. He said today at shoot around, like, he physically just feels really good. So I kind of expect him to play well. And of course win the game. I mean, the Pistons are bad. So win the game.
They're bad.
I guess that's
so
what I'm looking for. Yeah.
but they have lost to teams that are truly, truly terrible already this season. So, like, nothing is certain.
I mean, of course, but I feel like first of all, you've got two All-Star players, you know, an MVP caliber player against the worst team in the East. So a loss in this situation, I think, would lead to some interesting questions post-game.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man, I don't even want to picture it. And, of course, as people are listening to this, they know what happened, most likely, or if they're listening to us on 97.3 The Game, they don't quite have a sense of what's happening in that game. But, Oh boy, that would be a tough loss to take. We're going to talk about how Drew Holiday has carried this team. In the meantime, if we like his All-Star prospects as we get closer to naming the All-Star rosters, we should find out here in the next couple days if Giannis is in fact the leading vote getter in the Eastern Conference voting, which would make him an All-Star captain for the third time in his career. So that's something that we could be looking forward to. But the Bucks have only played two games since we last chatted because we spoke shortly after the Martin Luther King Jr. afternoon game, the win over Indiana, and then they came back the next night at Pfizer Forum and beat Toronto again without Giannis and without Chris. Really impressive showing. They won that game by 10 points, looked very good doing it. So they swept it back to back. Difficult to do under any circumstances, especially when you're missing two of your three best players. So that was quite the show. And then Cleveland rolls around. No Donovan Mitchell for the Cavaliers. So winnable on paper, but then Evan Mobley blew up for a career high scoring performance. I think it was 37 or 38 points. And the Bucks took that one on the chin. Were you surprised that Chris and Giannis didn't play in that game? Because it sure seemed like that's where we were headed. And after three full days off, you would have thought, if not now, then when? Honestly, in the aftermath of that, I was a little concerned there might actually be some sort of setback. Because, like I said, if not then, against a team that you're ostensibly going to be battling with in the Eastern Conference, when you've had that time off, you know, maybe the Giannis injury is more serious than we thought. Maybe Chris is, you know, setback or whatever. Like, I don't know if you felt differently, but in the moment, I guess I was kind of concerned after they didn't end up suiting up for that game.
Yeah, I mean, that morning in Cleveland, Mike Budenholzer had said that, you know, Giannis had practiced and had done everything the day before. Chris Middleton, the same thing. But Middleton was ruled out nearly immediately. I mean, I think that was even before they got to Cleveland.
Yeah, like the day before.
And then Giannis was ruled out after that shoot around, and it made you wonder, because it just, you know, you're looking at timelines, you're looking at days off, etc., and it seemed odd. Like, it seemed like they were tracking toward playing. I mean, no one had ever made that official or said this is what we're looking at, but it felt that way. Mike Budenholzer, we asked him about Giannis pregame. You know, are there any other issues with his body beyond the knee? Is, you know, the last time he missed this many games, it was actually a sprain. You know, so what are you looking at here? And he, you know, answered it, I guess, is the way Mike Budenholzer usually does. And tried to say, no, it's still just management and the things Giannis normally deals with. Didn't say there were other body parts affected, at least enough that would, you know, keep him out more than just what was going on. But I guess on paper, JR, if you look at it, Cleveland, best team in the East at home, even without Donovan Mitchell, clearly a formidable opponent. I guess why not give him another 2 days and start this thing up again, the lowly Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, it should be a quick start in that regard, but we will find out. In their absence, with these guys out, and again, it's been a month now for Chris Middleton. It's been about 10 days for Giannis out with these injuries. Drew Holiday has obviously just picked up the slack and been incredible. I mean, he's been really valuable. He scores 35 points in that game against Indiana, 37 then against Toronto. He comes back at Cleveland, 28 with 10 assists. He is four of his last five games, double-digit assists. I would look at his line, and, you know, kind of a team-wide issue is turnovers, and certainly Drew has not been immune to that. He had six in the loss to Cleveland, so that is a little bit of a black mark on the line. But Holiday has been awesome, in addition to being pretty steady and pretty awesome all year long. He's missed his fair share of games. You know, he missed, I think starting in December, it was, I want to say, seven games between, you know, kind of the start of December and the early part of January. So, you know, that's not nothing to sneeze at. But we're getting closer now. February 2nd is when we're going to hear the names of the reserves, the All-Star reserves. Holiday is not in contention to start the All-Star game, but could easily be a coach's pick. The NBA coach is voting on the reserves, and he could easily be in that equation. Do you think he will be? You know, you talked about it after one of the games, and Drew trying to downplay it a little bit, you know, saying, well, I'm not really like a flashy guy. I don't really, you know, I'm not a dunker. I'm not the type of person you think of when you think of All-Star. But then he admitted he would love to go, you know, 10 years after his last All-Star appearance would be kind of a notable thing, would be pretty cool. Where do you think he stands? I don't know how much you look at the Eastern Conference as a whole, but where do you think he stands? How good of a chance does he have to be an All-Star this season?
Yeah, there are two parts there. One, you know, his last six games as we record this, 27 points a game, 9 assists, 4.5 rebounds, you know, shooting 54%, 43% from three. So what does that say? Yes, the usage rate is super high because there's no Chris, there's no Giannis. I think Giannis is for one of those games. But also, JR, you mentioned the games he missed. I think Drew Holiday's been sick since Halloween-ish in some form or fashion. So I think these last six games have been more indicative of the player we thought we would see at the start of the year as just a healthy person. That said, and the reason I bring all that up is an All-Star is a full half-season honor. And for as much as every coach we talk to says he's underrated and underappreciated and should have more recognition, these are the same coaches who don't pick him for All-Star Reserve. So I mean, look, February 2nd, let's say the Bucks rip off some wins here and they're the number two team in the East. I find it hard to believe they don't have two All-Stars. And in that case, Drew Holiday is clearly the guy. Like, for as much of a good story as Brooke Lopez has been this year, it's just the East front court is too loaded. He doesn't have sort of the sexy stats. Drew may say he doesn't, but, you know, even with Chris coming back, like, I think we're still going to see Drew Holiday play and produce All-Star level numbers. So I don't know. I don't know if injuries is going to have to, you know, Oshkosh's own Tyrese Halliburton, probably deserves to be an All-Star for everything he did, but he's been hurt.
Yeah.
These last few weeks.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be able to play. I mean, he's been down here for recent history here.
Yeah. Like, what is the league think about Kyrie Irving? And I say the league because I don't think he's going to, if he wins the fan vote, like the fan vote isn't, just so people know, like, just because Kyrie Irving wins the fan vote doesn't mean he's going to start. Like, there's other elements to that. So if he's not the starter, what do the coaches feel about that behind the scenes? Does the league want Kyrie Irving in the All-Star? I don't know. If they do, there's another point guard, right? So we've got Darius Garland, player we just saw in Cleveland, All-Star last year. So I know I'm sort of avoiding a definitive yes or no, JR, but it's just sort of pointing out that, you know, these coaches who say they love him and respect him, I mean, they say the coaches' vote gets these guys in, but we haven't seen it. So I just wonder what else he has to do here in this last week to really get over the hump.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think the coaches might consider leaving Kyrie on the deck, but he's going to be voted in as a starter most likely. Again, the fan vote isn't the full allotment of it's, I believe, 50% of the contribution toward who gets to actually start in the All-Star game, and I just think Irving will be among the starters. I got to think, super interested in Halliburton. I said he wouldn't get to play. He very well might be available to play by the All-Star game, and he's certainly worthy of being an All-Star. I would love to see the Oshkosh kid get in. He's had a really remarkable season this year, but the Pacers have been kind of one of the underdog stories, you know, kind of the better stories in the NBA this year, so it would be cool to see him get in if that were...
I'm sorry to cut you off there. I mean, we didn't even talk about Jalen Brunson being the driving force in New York.
We haven't
talked about James Harden at all and what he's been doing in Philly, which quite honestly, he's had a renaissance of late. Like, we haven't talked about Fred VanVleet in Toronto. So, like, it's, of course, every year it's loaded. But, you know, the Bucks, it might help them if the big three were together and they ripped off, like, 3-4 straight here.
Yeah, you're right about that. Elsewhere on the roster, interesting situation with Serge Ibaka. He's, of course, a guy who is veteran depth in the front court. He re-signed to start this season and apparently dissatisfied with his role, or at least that's sort of what we're left to believe. He is not with the team for what's kind of being termed as personal reasons. You and others have written that Bucks kind of agreed that they would work together to find him a new home. You know, that he just wasn't happy with the situation, and then for the time being, he is going to be unavailable. He's been in and out with illness a lot of the year anyway. I'm interested to know what you're thinking there. I mean, obviously he's not one of their key contributors, so it's not going to make a huge, I would say, ripple effect for the average fan. But He is a guy with a veteran presence, seemingly fit in on this team, seemed to have a pretty good rapport with everybody. And the fact that now he's unhappy, you know, I don't know where the better situation necessarily is for a guy in Ibaka's, you know, age bracket. He's kind of, you know, he's getting up there and he's going to be able to contribute as a veteran somewhere. But I'm not sure there's a much better situation than Milwaukee just on the surface. And, you know, like there have been these whisperings that we've talked about where the team is the chemistry isn't good or whatever, the continuity isn't just what it normally is. And whether no matter how deeply you read into that, I see this Serge Ibaka walking away from the Bucks and thinking, I don't know, is that indicative of something else? So where's your head at with what's up with Serge Ibaka?
Yeah. You know, I mean, first of all, the key thing is that he's willing to be moved. Why does that matter to listeners? Serge Ibaka had a no trade clause along with Wesley Matthews and Javon Carter. So, you know, if John Horst wanted to make a move, those guys have to be involved. So, OK, you check the first box. Serge Ibaka is willing to be traded. That said, he has a no trade clause. He has to approve it. So that may winnow the list of places to go. Go ahead, jump in the trade machine. Serge Ibaka is not going to approve a trade to Charlotte. You know, or Washington. That's not happening.
Sorry, guys.
You know, in terms of how I feel, I mean, look, it made sense for the Bucks to bring him back. It's easy to forget now that Brooke Lopez only played less than 24 games, I want to say, after back surgery. You know, it's insurance. So that made sense. I guess where the question lies is, what was Serge thinking? Like, clearly, when Brooke came back, Serge never played. And Mike Budenholzer's long, long history as a head coach shows he plays three bigs. That's it. And, you know, Serge maybe had the bad luck of the only two guys on the roster who've played all the games are Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis. I mean, what are the odds, right? If Serge Ibaka was 6'8", you know, he would have played a bunch of games already. Yeah. So I think there's a couple just things that happened there that either he didn't anticipate or maybe he thought might be different. I don't know if he was a locker room issue. I mean, having been around Serge now pregame, postgame, I never got that sense. Doesn't mean I'm not around them every day, but it felt like this was more of an issue with him and his role within the coaching rotation, et cetera. So, I guess technically that's chemistry, but I don't know if it ever got to that point. And then he left, you know what I mean? Like he wasn't around. It's like, so I don't see how that, and he didn't play. So I guess to me, it's a little bit of a leap to say, hey, this is why there's like rumors of chemistry issues. That doesn't, I guess, track with me. But going forward, again, here's a 16-year veteran, limited market, makes $1.8 million, JR. Like, if he's going to get moved, probably part of a broader, bigger deal, and just as a complimentary piece of salary. I mean, it's just one of those people, you know, a player and a contract that's just ancillary, unfortunately. And they're going to have to find a place that he'll approve to go to where he's maybe not so ancillary.
All right, well, let's open it up to trade rumors. We talk about kind of the same. We tread the same ground kind of every time. So I don't know if there's anything new or interesting, but we are a week closer to the trade deadline. We've seen some rumors, some reports. Eric Gordon possibly for a bunch of second round draft picks was a rumor that was floated earlier over the weekend, early in the week. Jay Crowder, of course, is always top of mind. Gary Trent Jr. Maybe he wants to get his headband back from Brooke Lopez. He could do that if the Bucks end up trading for him. These are and you've outlined at jsonline.com sort of, you know, again, we've gone over this, the challenges that are in play for them to actually add anybody of true substance. That it's not an obvious thing that they're going to be able to do, but these again are some of the names that are out there. So I don't second round picks, I just don't know what kind of capital the Wild. I mean, sure, Nikola Jokic was a second round pick. You know, like I said, future 3-time MVP. Great pick there. You got to go through a lot of drafts before you find like even a team to put around him worth of second round picks of quality NBA players. So that is still a little bit of a, you know, sort of a lottery ticket sort of thing. Does anything strike you? Anything sound maybe that there's a little more fire than smoke than maybe some of these other rumors that we've heard?
Not yet. Just because, you know, look, like that particular report, it was missing some pieces because Eric Gordon makes $19 million. So yeah, 4 second round picks don't mean anything. Like if he was going to another team and part of the compensation was the Bucks picks, like who was coming back, who's going out. And it's always going to start with Grayson Allen. I mean, he makes $8.5 million. So I think any conversation begins and ends with him for the money. And sure, teams are going to be interested. He shoots 40% from three. You know, he's been more interested and active on defense this year, and it's shown. So he's an attractive asset, if you will. But you know, George Hill looks healthy. Jordan Warren makes $3 million. So yeah, that's it's the same cast of characters. You hate to call it that, but like in terms of this concept of just like names, right? That's it. So you could spruce it up with four second round draft picks or maybe John Horst is willing to entertain something from 2029. The first rounder, you know, he can deal. Maybe there's protections in there also, but again, it's the same thing. So I don't know if we're a week closer to the deadline, which means I think we're a week closer to, you know, maybe that impetus to do things. But, you know, I still feel like it's going to be a little bit of a slow go here for the Bucks, just because they may need two teams or three other teams to sort of get in the mix to make all of this work.
Bucks will be back at home on Wednesday to face the aforementioned Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets, but the Nuggets will be coming off a back-to-back, so that might be a little more winnable game than it would look like otherwise. They then go to Indiana to face the Pacers, the Pelicans come to Milwaukee, the Hornets come to Milwaukee. They should go 5-0, Jim. They should win all these games before going to, they'll still be at home facing the Clippers on February 2nd. Schedule heats up from there, but They should win all five of these games. I don't know if they will, but there's bound to be a little bit of extra oomph knowing that they're at full strength if they in fact remain at full strength through those five games. I mean, obviously, like you can never predict five in a row is asking a lot, no matter who the opponents are. But this feels like the time, right? Like they've got to pivot to do this, right?
It feels like, you know, when we go back to, you know, Aaron Rodgers' famous relax statement. Nothing he ever said was in a vacuum, and he knew who was on the schedule.
Of course he did.
And who the Packers were going to play, or not relax, to run the table.
Both of them.
Quote. Yeah. Like, so, you know, Denver at home, obviously, is the tough one. New Orleans, sure. But it is at home against Jokic and the Nuggets. I am curious, but 4-1? You know, before the Clippers come into town and for that like late game on February 2nd. Yeah, I could see that a 4-1 stretch coming. I mean, the Pelicans again are a tough team, you know, but the Bucks beat them in New Orleans with Zion. So you figure you can hold serve at home court. So maybe this is the start of something for them and they can kind of kick it off in Detroit feeling good.
As we're recording this, Drew Holiday named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. We talked about how great he's been lately. That's a nice little feather in his cap. 33.3 points per game over the last three, 9.3 assists, 4.7 rebounds. LeBron, the Western Conference Player of the Week. LeBron is still out there lurking. He is likely to be an All-Star captain as well, along with Giannis. LeBron has been an All-Star captain all five seasons of this captain format. So I personally would love to see Giannis picking players. I'd love to see James Harden be in the mix again. That's always an entertaining little tete-a-tete. Anything else, Jim? I got one sort of off-the-cuff question for you, and you don't know I'm asking it, so I'll throw a curveball at you. But before we do that, any other serious thoughts on this roster? I mean, you did write about Grayson and his improved defense at jsonline.com. I thought it was a really interesting piece. If you're not following the Bucks that closely, you probably are just, you know, you assume Grayson Allen is just not that good a defensive player. But you wrote about how he's really sort of improved in that area. So you could talk about that a little bit if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, Grayson, it's something I've sort of noticed of late where, you know, he's not small, 6'4", 200 pounds, but, you know, Kyle Kuzma makes him look small. So is Jimmy Butler. You know, so he's had that matchup. And then some of these games where the Bucks have switched defensively, you know, what that means is pick and roll, like they don't go over and under screens. They just sort of switch who's guarding whom. And Grayson Allen's been a part of that. And he's even said, he's like, Bud is trusting him more, where he's like, in certain situations last year, it's been sort of, okay, well, let's let Brooke handle it, you know, Grayson kind of whatever. And so I feel like he's upped his game in that way. Clearly Mike Budenholzer feels the same way. Is he tremendous? Is he Drew Holiday? No. But I don't think he's as been as bad, as I think, you know, some social sites might say. So, again, this goes back to, look, if he's still on the team, if he's your second best offensive option in the playoffs, i.e. Boston, probably not great. But if he's number five, like he should be, I think the Bucks could do a lot worse.
All right, we don't have like a special feature, one of our normal ones, but I'm going to throw you a curveball, like I said, and I promise this will actually tie into the Bucks. But the Oscar nominations come out Tuesday morning. As we record this, again, most people probably, they're already out there probably, as you're listening to this, but Tuesday morning, Oscar nominations. So, Jim, I want to know what the best movie is that you saw personally in 2022.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's tough when I threw you. I know you don't have a lot of time for these movies, but you must have some.
Oh, movies that I watched. Okay, well, JR may have to edit the long pause.
No, we like pauses.
I mean, I have a longer list of movies I haven't seen. I'm trying to think now, JR. That's like 3 hours of time.
It is actually movies have gotten a lot longer lately. It is a massive commitment. Like I saw Avatar The Way of Water, which is over 3 hours. The movie Tar, which is probably my favorite movie of 2022, is over 3 hours. Most movies now, like Babylon, which is another like best picture contender, these movies, like, they want you to go there and they want you to spend like your entire day there. Like it's ridiculous.
Right.
I will say that
I guess I could say what I'm disappointed in was the Fletch reboot with John Hamm.
Mm.
I was such a huge fan of chasing that sort of original concept, and not that I wasn't open to John Hamm. I think he's a fine actor. It just, I don't think it landed.
Yeah.
I my list, unfortunately, is probably way longer than what I've seen. You know, I did enjoy Glass Onion. I've kind of gotten into the murder mystery.
Oh, yes.
Stuff.
You know, great genre. Not,
like stuff like that has been fun. But I couldn't tell you, JL, that had like a favorite. I mean, Doctor Strange, I think, came out early.
Yeah,
in 2022.
It did. Disappointing for a lot of people, is my understanding.
What I'll say about this is, because you asked your favorite in the theater.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with that one because I was in the theater.
Perfect.
And what that is visually was highly entertaining.
I think
we can quibble with its quality and where it rates and all that stuff, but I going strictly off your question,
mm-hmm.
in the theater, I would say that one I had the most fun with.
Yeah, I think a lot of people say Top Gun Maverick. That is almost certain to get nominated for Best Picture, so that is something people can go ahead.
I did see that. Very good as well.
Yeah. I did not like that one. I like movies that are well written. I did not feel that movie was well written, but I shouldn't say I didn't like it. It was awesome. I had a really good time. But
entertaining.
I'm a bit of a snob when it comes to movies. I like movies that have a lot of these other elements that people don't, you know, care about. And that did not have the elements that I personally care about, but it was still a great time. It was phenomenal watch. Okay, here's why I'm asking about movies. There is one category, best documentary short, which is exactly what it says. There's miniature documentaries out there, and you know, five of them are going to get nominated for an Oscar. It is a award that makes the broadcast. And there is a documentary short out there called The Flag Makers. It's about a company, Eater Flag, in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, of course, right outside of Milwaukee. And they make flags, American flags. And there is a lot of diversity in their workforce, a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different ethnicities, religions, and whatnot. And there is a documentary, a short movie about them. Giannis Antetokounmpo is one of the producers on the show or of the short movie. There was talk that this movie was going to be made into a musical. Actually, it's gotten a lot of buzz. I think there's a really good chance it gets nominated here on Tuesday, and you know, Giannis might be in the. I don't even know like how that works with producer credit. If Giannis would get an Oscar per se, but I think it would be wild if Giannis were in contention to get an Oscar. And here's the other thing, Jim: the Oscars are March 12th. March 11th, the Bucks are in San Francisco to play the Golden State Warriors. March 13th, they're in Sacramento to play the Kings. The Oscars are in California, so maybe there's time, March 12th, in between those two games, for Giannis to get up to the Oscars. That would be pretty sweet. That would be really, really wild.
I would imagine if... Yeah, I feel like...
It's not going to happen, I know.
I could be wrong, but that would make a lot of sense. I mean, it's just a short private plane ride. Right?
Oh, of course. Of course. Just a short plane ride. I thought you were going to wet blanket me and say there's no way that he's just going to take a day off between games and go to L.A. to the Oscars.
I mean, look, unless he's planning on doing this many, many more times or has enough. I mean, I don't know how they come up with these things, where producer credits come from, what the involvement is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't either.
But
he may not even be invited. I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, I think you're at least invited to the party.
Yes. And Giannis loves a party. It would be so sweet to see him at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles on March 12th. Even if he doesn't win, that would be awesome. You know, Kobe famously has an Oscar for a project that he worked on a few years ago.
Right.
Giannis, of course, loves Kobe. That would be a very sweet connection between the two of them. A lot of steps to go. It has to be nominated, first of all. I don't think it's necessarily going to be like the front runner, but it, you know, you never know.
And, you never know.
Would be awesome to see Giannis dressing up on the red carpet at the Oscars, winning an Oscar. That would be wild. I don't know.
It would be.
I don't know. Plus, you know, it's a story about a Wisconsin Milwaukee company. So it's a cool story, and I'll be certainly tuning in to find out if that one gets a nomination on Tuesday morning. That is it, though. That's what we have for the Point Forward podcast today. Jim, appreciate you checking in here. I know it's tough on the road to have to be calling in from Detroit, but hopefully this game tonight gives Bucks fans a little bit of peace of mind with Chris Middleton and Giannis back in the roster or back in the lineup. Thanks for tuning in with us, Jim. Thanks.
Of course. Talk to you all soon.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. You know where to find us. You find us there every week. So, again, my name is J.R. Radcliffe. You can find me on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe. He is at Jim Ozarski. Let us know what you think. We'll talk to you again very soon. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.